Sunday. This is BK Jones. I am thrilled to be partnering with BPN Radio and Pastor Dale Gentry for Preaching Sundays every Sunday at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. Let's go to the message. This is BK Jones. I'm so glad you joined me today on BPN Radio. What a privilege it is to partner with Dale and Gene Gentry in their passion for spreading good news around the world here on Preaching Sunday. This morning, I want to talk to you about building your dream. I want to ask you a few questions, and I want you to really think with me. What are you passionate about? What makes your heart smile? When you're in your happy place, the place where you feel the most passionate, the most fulfilled, where are you? I found it's in those places where I'm most content, where I'm feeling the most excited about life, where I know that I'm walking in my purpose. Right there is God's plan for my life. I love speaking to women. I love preaching God's word. I love helping young married couples. I love pastoring people and helping them learn more about God. So that is my sweet spot. Often, the place that God has for us, our destiny, is wrapped up in our passion. So God gives men and women dreams and visions. He gives them those as a plan, as a goal, as something to look forward to. But He tells us to build them, to walk in obedience and do what we need to do to go before Him and get plans and use the intellect that He's given us to build our dreams and to do things that glorify His name. So first of all, God is the dream giver. One of my very favorite scriptures in all of the Word of God is Jeremiah 29:11. When God called me, this is the scripture that He gave me. It says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." God has a purpose and a blueprint for each one of our lives. He gives us instructions on discovering it as we pursue His heart. When we get in God's presence, He begins to reveal the mysteries. He begins to help us put the pieces of the puzzle together for our future. Some of our purpose is obvious and innate. I was born to love people. I was born to help people. I have a passion to inspire people. So those things are obvious in me. And all of that is part of my calling to be an evangelist and my calling to be a pastor. It's all wrapped up in those things that I'm passionate about. God wants to share His heart with you. And a lot of people tell me, God doesn't speak to me like He speaks to you. And my question to you is, are you listening? Are you making time for God to speak to you? A few years ago, I was in a meeting and the guy said, he was a prophet, and he said, "Take a moment, just be quiet before the Lord, and let's listen to what He has and ask God to give you a dream and a vision." My life had been so busy that I realized I had not taken a lot of time just to hear God's heart, just to tune everything else out and to tune into God. But at that moment, when even I was doubting that God would really show me something, I stopped, I quieted all my thoughts, I rested my mind, and I just leaned into God. I was surprised that as I did that, God gave me a vision for my future. A very distinct, a very detailed vision of my future. And I just came off of that particular plan that God gave me. I just came off of that assignment just this week. God showed me that I was standing in a dusty parking lot, a dusty area on a kind of a rough stage, and I was speaking to a sea of beautiful brown faces. I saw lots of children. I saw lots of needs in the vision that He gave me. And just in that moment when I leaned into God, He spoke to me. He showed me that vision and that dream. I was so surprised that He was ready to speak to me, but I just had not taken the time to stop and lean in and listen to what He has to say. As I did that, He showed me this beautiful vision, And as I went to Kenya the past 2 weeks I spent in Kenya, as I spent time there, I found myself on the very stage in that dream, that vision that God gave me. I was awake, so I guess you would call it a vision. I found myself in that very spot, loving on the most beautiful children and adults that were so hungry for the Word of God. Now, that vision came like 5 years ago to my spirit as I quieted myself and I leaned in, and I never could forget it. When I was given the opportunity recently to take an assignment in Nairobi, Kenya, I knew that this was that dream coming true. As a matter of fact, the lady that invited us had posted videos on her Facebook, and as I looked through those videos, I knew that this was the fulfillment of the vision that God had given me. I knew that this was a time I was to step out and go and fulfill this vision the Lord had given me. So I began to raise funds, I made plans, I prepared messages. See, it wasn't all up to God to do that. It was up to me to lean in and hear the heart of God. So God wants to share His heart with you. I encourage you to lean in and listen closely to what He has to say. Seek a place of peacefulness and just pursue the heart of God, and bring every area of your life under His authority. Live righteously and go after Him, because He is so anxious to talk to you and to share His heart with you, like He did with me on that particular day when I silenced everything and leaned into Him. Matthew 6:33 in the Amplified Version says, "But first and most importantly, seek, aim at, strive after His kingdom and His righteousness, His way of doing and being right. The attitude and the character of God and all these things will be given to you." The King James Version says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything will be added unto you." That's a scripture I learned as a child, and it's one of the most important scriptures. I know all the scriptures in the Bible are important, but just for bringing your life in line, this scripture is a great place to start in the fulfillment of your dreams. It's to seek first the kingdom of God above everything else. And as you do that and you pursue His righteousness, His right living, you desire to be walking in covenant with God, then as you do that first, He will add everything else to you that you need. I've found that to be very true. People often say, "I don't hear from God. I just don't hear Him like you do." Again, quiet yourself. You can hear Him speak through His word, which is always accurate and always on time. You can just silence yourself and ask God to speak to you. Ask Him to lean into you as you lean into Him. And I'm going to tell you, He'll surprise you as He speaks words of peace, words of hope, words of love, words of affirmation to your spirit. If you'll quiet yourself and get in His word, I assure you God will speak to you through His word or through His rhema word, which is a now word that is always in line with the word of God that is written. God delights in sharing His heart with you and all the mysteries of the kingdom. He has no plans to hold anything back from you if your heart is right before Him and if you desire to seek Him above everything else. He loves sharing His heart with you. Years ago, I started praying, "God, what's on your heart today?" And I was surprised that He would tell me. He would show me things. On the first particular day that I did that, He said, "Tanzania." To be honest, I'm not a geography buff. I didn't know much about Tanzania, but I began to pray and just pray peace over that area and just pray the will of God over that area. And I looked on the internet a few days after God had been putting it on my heart repetitively, and sure enough, Tanzania was in crisis and needed prayer. God wanted someone that He could share that with to pray, because God chooses to move by our prayers. So He wanted somebody that He could trust
to hear his word and speak on it. I was like, Tanzania, I'm not even sure where that is. And so I just developed a passion for that area as I prayed. I just developed a love for that area of the world. So if you think God doesn't want to talk to you, you have a thwarted image of him. He is the Father of the universe. He is God. If you have accepted Jesus Christ, he is your Father, and you can go to him and cry out to him, and he'll share his heart with you. When my children want to talk to me, I'm always excited to listen. I always want to hear what they have to say, and I want to share my heart with them. If you didn't have a good parental relationship, you may struggle with that kind of love, but God's love is perfect. He's a good, good Father, as the House Fire song says. He's a good, good Father, and he loves to interact with his children. He cares about every single detail of your life. He cares about every single detail of your dream, and he wants to help you build it as you lean into him. God wants to bless you. So many people think that God is not out for their good, that he's just waiting like a taskmaster to speak to them negative things. But that is not the God that I know. God is a God of love. He's a God of peace. Yes, there's some judgment in God, but his mercy endures forever. And as you come to him and you just lay yourself before him and you just submit your life to him, he is such a good Father. Oh, he is so, so good to us. He loves you with an everlasting love, and he wants to communicate with you. He wants to bless you. Somebody told me when I was in college, I guess I was a little negative because life had been pretty hard, and someone told me, they said, BK, just because life has been hard doesn't mean it's always going to be hard. That statement kind of took me back. But as I marinated in those words that were spoken to me, actually by a relative of mine, as I marinated in those words, I thought, could it be? Could life one day not be so hard like it has been in my past? Would life change and get better for me? Would God have something good for me? And the answer was yes. Yes, Scripture says it rains on the just and the unjust. But I'm going to tell you, your season of rain won't last forever. Your season of hard times and trauma won't last forever. As you follow God, the seasons will change. If you're stuck in a season, there's most likely something you're not letting go of. So maybe it's unforgiveness, maybe it's pain. There is some unsurrendered part of your life that usually keeps you stuck in a season. But God wants to bless you, and he wants to give you a life that is so worth living. God is a giver, and when you give him your best effort, he'll give you his greatest blessing. He wants to help you build your dream. He wants to partner with you in success. In Luke 12, verses 29 through 32, it says, "What I'm trying to do here is get you to relax, not to be so preoccupied with getting, so that you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things, but you know God and how he works. Steep yourself in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Don't be afraid of missing out. You're my dearest friends. The Father wants to give you the very kingdom itself." This is Jesus talking in Luke chapter 12, the Message version. See, people start building their dreams long before they ever become a reality. The thing is that when you're building your dreams, you have to include God and make him Lord over the process. Give him dominion over the process. There are very few overnight successes. Honestly, I don't think there's a lot of overnight successes, maybe none. It takes everything you have to build a dream. It's you partnering your best with God's best, and together you build the dream with God in charge. It takes everything you have. Don't be afraid of failing Be afraid of not living the dream God has for you. God's not near as interested in how many times you fail as in how many times you tried and that you've fallen and you get up again. Summer Redstone said, great success is built on failure, frustration, and even catastrophe. Even if you've tried and tried before, if God's put a dream in your heart, you must not give up. You must tenaciously seek God on behalf of your dream and pay attention to the wisdom and the knowledge that is available to you to build that dream. Charles Kettering said, failing is one of the greatest arts in the world. One fails towards success. Henry Ford says, failure provides the opportunity to begin again more intelligently. So we don't fail, we learn. When we make mistakes, when we put our best foot forward and things don't turn out as well, we don't quit. We start over and move forward. Everyone that finds themselves living their dream just continue to get up and go forward despite anything that was thrown at them. It just takes step by step, day by day, going before God, getting a plan, and walking it out with the greatest integrity and hope that God would be glorified through your life. You're given a dream, and if God gives you the dream, He'll supply what you need to build it. Just start where you're at today and move forward. My mentor, John Maxwell, who I've had the privilege of sitting under for hours of studying and learning his methods of success, his favorite quote is, jump and build your wings on the way down. What he's saying is, don't delay doing what God's told you to do. Start where you're at and learn as you go. People that procrastinate on their dreams often end up burying them and never seeing them come to fruition. Most dreams die in the burial field of procrastination. So it's very important that you start today and every day do something that moves you toward the plan or the vision that God's put in your heart. When God gives you a dream, start immediately moving in that direction. Start planning. Start brainstorming with other people that have wisdom and knowledge in that area of expertise. When God called me to preach, I started studying other preachers. I watched them. I watched how they approached the stage. I watched how they approached the pulpit. I paid attention to their preparation. If I was around them in private times, I paid attention to how much they put into hearing from God. I listened to their prayers. I wanted to know how to be the best at what God called me to be. If someone discourages you about your dream, don't share it with them again. They're not someone that needs to be on your team. It's very important, the inner circle. And as I studied other pastors and teachers and evangelists, I watched who their inner circle was. And I noticed that the ones that were successful did not have a crowd following them. They often stood alone in crowds. They often were quiet. They weren't always the life of the party. Their desire was to seek and know God, and often those who seek and know God aren't the ones that draw the greatest crowd. Jesus himself had to be alone, and so many times great followers of Christ spend a lot of time alone getting to know him and hearing his voice. They don't let the voices of the world contaminate them, but they do have mentors and people that pour into their life positive feedback and correction and love and affirmation. They do have those people that encourage them in their dreams. So I encourage you to do something every day to move in the direction of your dream and keep a log of it. Write it down. Write the things that you do every day. Make yourself accountable to somebody that you'll be moving forward in your dream. And here's the log that you can show them, the list of things that you've done to move forward. If you stumble in the quest for your dream, just dust yourself off and try again. Failure is never final, and you never really lose. Once again, you just learn. If you fall forward and keep moving. Spend time with other dreamers. It's so important who you ride with on your path to building your dream. If you're the smartest person in the room, you need to move to another room. If you don't have people around you that call you higher than you are, you have made yourself the king of a room, perhaps, and you need to move into a greater room where you feel a little bit intimidated. You feel a little bit less than the people in the room. Not in a woe is me situation, but you need to find people who are reaching higher. The word the Lord gave me on that particular subject was, I want you to keep one hand up, receiving from somebody that is much further along than you, and I want you to keep one hand reaching down to lift somebody else up that is where you came from. And so that's a practice that I try to do. I always try to have people speaking in my life and speaking to my dream that are way further along on the path of success than I am. And I try to have other people who have not yet achieved the same amount of success that I have. I try to have one hand reaching down to them, helping them to achieve their dreams and their vision, and teaching them what I have learned on the way. That is the gift of discipleship. You're receiving from somebody, you're being discipled, and you're discipling people that are not yet where you're at. In Proverbs 27:17, in the Amplified Version, it says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. So it's important that we have those people that sharpen us, that call us higher. Make yourself be around people that make you a little bit uncomfortable, the people that have a higher level of thinking. You rise to the level of your expectation. So be around people who cause you to expect greater things in your life. As you put yourself in a climate of success, as you allow yourself to be mentored by people who are further along in faith than you are, maybe further along in business than you are, as you watch their lives and as you rub shoulders with people that have reached a level higher than yours, you're going to be sharpened and you're going to want to move higher in your quest for the things of God and for the dreams that He's put in your heart. Attitude is everything. If you can't dream about the finish line, if you can't taste what it would feel like and feel the victory that you're going to feel when you get there, you'll probably never see it. You have to know what that's going to feel like in your heart. I remember after God called me to preach, I could feel the excitement of the crowd as I moved under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Just as I was preaching in my mirror as a young girl, I could envision the crowd. I could see people coming to Christ. I was hungry for a move of God. Even way back then, before the dream ever began to take place, I was preparing myself in my mind. I was preparing the vision in my head. I started preparing my life to walk before God in the way that I would when I walked through the doors He opened for my dream. I prepared early. I started dressing like a woman of God. I started behaving like a woman of God. I knew that I couldn't do everything everybody else was doing as teenagers, that I had to live a life above reproach if I wanted to go where God wanted me to go. That certainly doesn't mean that I was perfect. I had plenty of flaws, and it didn't mean that if I failed, God couldn't use me. It meant that God got His hands on me early and that He was calling me to live a life that He could bless. He was calling me to live a life of excellence to the best of my ability, and when I failed, to call on Him to ask for that forgiveness. But I knew the platform that He was calling me to called for holy living. Therefore, I couldn't just do everything that the kids in the world that didn't have a plan from God could do. So I started thinking and planning and plotting my course to stand on a stage and declare the word of God and to draw people to Christ. I knew that I had to be a person of integrity. I needed to be a person of strength. I needed to be a peacemaker if I wanted to draw people to Christ. If you do what everybody else does, then you'll never stand out in a crowd. But if you'll go after the things that God says you can do, if you'll choose the high road, which is often the lonely road, God will honor your taking the narrow path, and He will bless you. He'll bless your obedience, and He'll put you in places you never dreamed you could be. Never give up on your dream. Even if you're starting out and perhaps a life behind you has been a train wreck, you've had a hard time, that's okay. God knew exactly what was going to happen in your life, but right now He's calling you to get up and go after the dream He's put in your heart. Go after the prophetic words He's spoken after you. Go after the desire for Him that He's put in your heart. God often looks past people that think they have it all together, and He chooses the most messed up situations often to show His glory from. We are all broken people. I certainly never was perfect, but my heart did from a young age want to go after God, and I knew that when I fell, I could call on Him, and He would lift me up. And I knew that I didn't want to make a big mess. I wanted to please God, and I wanted to do my best to please His heart and honor Him. But when I did make messes, I'm thankful He was faithful to clean me up. In Habakkuk chapter 2, in the Amplified Version, God answers the prophet in verse 2, and it says, I will stand at my guard post and station myself on the tower. I will keep watch to see what He will say to me and what answer I will give as His spokesman when I am reproved. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and engrave it plainly on clay tablets so that the one who reads it will run. For the vision is yet for the appointed future time. It hurries toward the goal of fulfillment. It will not fail. Even though it delays, wait patiently for it, because it will certainly come. It will not delay. So I want to encourage you what the Lord was speaking to Habakkuk. He said, write the vision and engrave it plainly. Write it down. As a young girl, when I received the word of the Lord at a little church of God in Opelika, Alabama, I received the word of the Lord that I would preach the gospel around the world. I was so excited about that first prophetic word that I didn't know what to do. I went home and I couldn't find papers or pencils. I was looking for just for something because I was so excited about what God said. I didn't even know this verse, but the Lord was telling the prophet to write down the vision. And so I found a little brown paper bag that we used to buy and put penny candy in it. I found that small bag, and finally I found a crayon or a piece of paper or something, and I wrote down that I would preach the gospel around the world, that God said that He loved me, that He had a great plan for my life, and if I would walk in obedience, He would take me around the world to share good news with others, and that He would bring purpose out of my pain. I wrote the vision down, and as I would get discouraged in life, I would go back, find that little brown bag in my little side table by my bed, and I would read the word of the Lord. I would read that vision back to myself, and I would remember that, yes, God has a plan for my life. Yes, before He formed me, He knew me, and He ordained me to do great things. Yes, this man of God heard the Lord speak a positive word over me. Now, where I was at when I received that word, I was probably about 12 years old, and life had turned really dark for me. And I really was deciding whether I would walk with God or not. I was pretty discouraged by the things I saw around me. But when God gave me a vision, a dream, a plan for my future, I had the choice. And I made that choice to write it down, to start walking like I was a woman of God, to start talking like I was a woman of God, and to start believing God to open the proper doors. I started studying and preparing myself to move forward with the good plan God has. God wants to bless your dreams. He wants to encourage you. He's put that vision in your heart. Write it down. Start moving toward it. Plan. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Put yourself around great people that inspire you to live your God dream. Have a blessed day. This is BK Jones at BK Jones Global on Facebook.